Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brochos Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Following the conclusion of our regular Daf Yomi Gemara Shiur, we will offer a supplemental Shiur covering the Tosfos of our Daf for those who are interested. Today's Shiur begins 5 lines from the top of Daf Tes Zayin. Hakori Lemafreya Lo Yotza. The Mishnah mentioned that one who reads the Kriya Shema out of order is not in fulfillment of his requirement. Rabbi Ami Rav Asi Havu Kokatrin Le Ginona Le Rebbe Lozer. Rav Ami and Rav Asi were preparing a marriage canopy for Rebbe Lozer. Literally, they were tying a canopy together in anticipation of Rebbe Lozer's wedding. Omar Lehu, Rebbe Lozer said to Rav Ami and Rav Asi, Adahochi Vahochi, in the meantime, while you are preparing the marriage canopy, Ezel Veshma Milsa de Beit Midrasha, I will go and hear some Torah learning in the Beis Medrash, the AC, the Ema Lehu, and I'll come back and report to you what they say. Ozal, so Rebbe Lozer went, Ashkeche Letano de Kotoni Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. He found the Tano, the one who said over Tanaic sources, in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, and stated as follows. And you can see we have a frame around the next few lines. This is a Tanaic source. This is what Rebbe Lozer heard. As far as the topic heading for this section of Gemara, on the outside margin, we have noted the Nosei is Kora V'To'o B'Kriyashma. Person was reading and made a mistake and forgot where he was holding in the Kriyashma. The Einu Yodeh L'Heichon To'o, he doesn't know where his mistake was. So now the source, Kora V'To'o V'Einu Yodeh L'Heichon To'o. He was reading the Kriyashma and doesn't know. He feels he made a mistake. He knows that he made a mistake, but he just doesn't know where the mistake was. Yachzor LaRosh. So he is to go back to the beginning. Be'emsa HaPerek. If he made a mistake in the middle of one of the paragraphs of Kriyat Shema, and he knows that it's in this particular paragraph, so Yachzor L'Tchilas HaPerek. So he should go back to the beginning of that paragraph. Bein Perek LaPerek. If he knows that he finished a perek, he finished a paragraph. So then, and he knows that much he knows, and he also knows that he is in error. Yachzor leperek rishon. That means he should go. Rashi explains perek rishon is the first break, the first gap between chapter, between paragraphs. So that would mean he should go back to the beginning of v'hoyo im shamoa, which is the beginning of the second paragraph of the three paragraph kriyashma. Bein ksiva l'ksiva, both in the first and second paragraphs of kriyashma, you have the pasuk toward the end of each paragraph, uchsavtum al mezuzos beisecha. That's the term ksiva is a reference to uchsavtum, which appears twice. So this is a fellow who knows he has to say uchsavtum, but he just doesn't know the first one or the second one. So yachzor l'ksiva rishona. He should go back to the end of the first paragraph and recite that pasuk, uchsavtum al mezuzos beisecha uvishorecha, and then continue v'hoyo im shamoa. Omar Le Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, in commenting on this source that the Tanas recited, he says, Lo Shanu Elo Shelo Pasach B'Laman Yirbu Yemechem. This halacha of going back to the Ksiva Rishona, this was stated only if he didn't continue saying L'man Yirbu Yemechem. Avol Posach b'leman yirbu yamechem. If you have a person who is obviously a bit daydreaming, and he's saying the Kriya Shema, and he says Uchsavtom al mezuzos beisecho vishorecho, and he continues into saying Leman Yirbu as a sort of on automatic pilot. If that happens, so Sarche Nokiv v'Osi, so he is following his routine, and therefore he doesn't have to go back. At all. He can rest assured that he finished the second paragraph, including Uchsavtom of the second paragraph, and there's no need for him to go back to the Uchsavtom of the first paragraph. Also, v'omar lehu, Rabbi Elazar now comes back to Rav Ami and Rav Asi and reports to them what he just heard. Omru le, Rav Ami and Rav Asi said, Ilu lo bonu elu lishmo davar ze dayenu. If we had come for no other reason than to hear this teaching, then that would be enough. In other words, they were very happy to hear, very pleased with hearing this particular halacha. The Mishnah. Here we will deal with several different halachas. We'll see a reference made to workers and their obligations with regard to Kriya Shema, and we'll also see a halacha concerning a person getting married and what are his obligations regarding Kriya Shema. So the Mishnah says, Ha'umnin kairin barosh ha'ilan uvarosh ha'natboch. Workers, and you can see from the context, these are workers that are working in trees, they're picking fruits possibly. So they, if they started working and the time for Kriya Shema arrives, so they are to recite Kriya Shema even while they are still in the tree. And if they're construction workers, Rosh HaNadboch, Nadboch is a row of bricks or stones in preparation of building. So he's at a construction site and he's at the top of a pile or a row of bricks. He right there and right then and there on the top of this row of bricks says the Kriya Shema, Ma she'enon rashoyin la'asos kein betfila. In contrast to Shmoyne Esrei, this they would not be allowed to do. They would have to get down from the tree or get off this row of bricks. The Rashi points out that Shmoyne Esrei, we call the davening, or the which is the climax of the davening of the prayer service, is the Shmoyne Esrei. That requires concentration. And therefore, recitation on the top of a tree or on the top of a row of bricks on a construction site, where a person is fearful he may fall off or fall out of where he is, he can't possibly stand there and recite Kriya Shema recite the Shmoyne Esrei other than in a state of constant tension and fear he might fall. Therefore, for Shmoyne Esrei, he would not be allowed to say it in the to stand in and pray the Shmoyne Esrei in a tree or on a row of bricks. Chosan poter mikriya shma laila harishona viad motzoi Shabbos im lo osa maisa. A person who's just got married, a chosan, a newly married man, is exempt from Kriya Shema the first night of his from the first night of his marriage until the so Motzoi Shabbos, until Saturday night. Let's just assume, as the Mishnah tells you at the beginning, Ksubas, that people would get married in the middle of the week, and this Mishnah is telling us that he would be exempt from Kriya Shema from that first night, and if he hasn't experienced his act of intimacy with his wife, with his new wife, then he will be exempt up till Saturday night, Motzoi Shabbos, if he still hasn't fulfilled his consummation of his marriage. This is a law associated with his inability to concentrate on the Kriya Shema because of factors that will be mentioned later in the Gemara. And it falls into the realm of Oisek b'mitzvah poter min ha-mitzvah, but there's more to it than just that. Umaisa b'Rav Gamliel shenosa isha, an incident concerned Rav Gamliel where he married a woman, a new wife, the Korah Laila HaRishon, and he recited the Kriya Shema. Amru lo Tamidov. The students said to him, Limaditanu Rabbeinu Shechosen Poter Mikriyashma. Is it not so that you taught us that the newly married man is exempt from Kriyashma? What is it that you are saying it? What's motivating you to say the Kriyashma when you're exempt? Omar Lohem, so Rabbi Gamliel responded, Eini Shomea Lohem, Levatel Hemeni, Malchus Shomaim Afilu Shoachas. I am not going to heed your words. It is true, I may have taught that, but I am not going to apply it to myself, which would result in my abandoning the acceptance of the heavenly yoke, even for a moment. In other words, the recitation of Kriyashma is the Jew's affirmation and acceptance of the Almighty as his ruler and personal God, and to avoid saying that is something that Rabbi Gamliel could not possibly entertain. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source. Ho'umnin Kurin Barosh Ho'ilon Ubarosh Hanadboch. The workers are to read Kriyashma at the top of a tree or on the top of a row of bricks. Umispalin Barosh Hazayas Ubarosh Hata'ino. Mispalin is the Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei can be recited at the top of an olive tree or the top of a fig tree. Ushaar kol ha'ilonus yordim lamato umispalin. As opposed to all other kinds of trees, for Shmona Esrei, one must descend from the tree and recite it standing on the ground. The special feature of the zayas and the te'eno, the olive and fig tree, is that they have very dense branches, and hence one can stand there with a feeling of security and not be possessed by the fear that he may fall over any moment, which, as we said before, was a prerequisite for proper Shmona Esrei recitation. However, with regard to other trees where the branching is not quite as dense, so this option to remain in the tree doesn't exist, and they have to get down. Ubal Habayis, the owner, the one who hired these workers, the owner, Bein Kach Ubein Kach Yored Lamato, whether it be a fig tree or any other kind of tree, he must descend, Umespalel, and Davin, on the ground, Lafi She'ein Daito Miusheves Olov. One can't concentrate in the fullest sense, even if he's in a fig tree or an olive tree. And as far as the workers are concerned, so there was a leniency, a relaxation in the law because of the problem of their losing out in work time to get down from the tree and then later reascend it, so as to guarantee maximum work time or minimum loss of work time. So there's this leniency with regard to workers in the case of a te'eno and zayas tree. Romi le Rav Mori bro de Bas Shmuel l'Rova. Rav Mori raises a contradiction between two sources. And he raises this contradiction to Rava and expects a resolution. Tanan, on the one hand, and we should point out also that the diamonds here represent the introducing the two sources that will be raised as contradictory against one another. And to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you might notice a kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line indicating the length of the question. So Rav Mori says, Tanan, on the one hand, it says, Ho'umnin Kurin Barosh Ho'ilon Ubarosh Hanadboch, that workers recite the Kriyashma while they, and it appears from the source, while they're working, whether it be in the tree or at a construction site. And the emphasis right now is even while they are working, they can recite the Kriyashma. Alma Loboy Kavona. From this, it would appear that one doesn't have to have specific intent or concentration when reciting the Kriyashma. Veromini, and yet we raise a contradiction from the following source, Hakuri Eshma, Tzorach Shiachavin Eslibo. One who says the Kriyashma must have concentration and intent for the mitzvah that he is doing, Shinema Shma Yisrael. That's what it says in the Kriya Shema, Ulahalanu Omer, and later in the Torah it says Haskes Ushma Yisrael. Again, you see the expression Shema Yisrael, but together with the word Haskes, which means pay attention, means be attentive. Ma lahalan b'haskes, just like there, Shema Yisrael is accompanied by haskes. Afkan b'haskes. So too, with regard to the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, the attention and concentration is a necessary factor. So how do you resolve these two sources? Ishtik. So Rava, who heard this problem, remained silent. Omar le, so Rav Mori said, Midi shmiya lach b'ha. Did you hear from anyone some reaction to this problem? Omar le, Rava answers, Hochi Omar Rav Sheshes. He says, I'll tell you what Rav Sheshes says. V'hu shebetelin nimalachdon v'korin. The source that says that the Umin are going to read in Barosho Ilon, provided they cease their work at that time. V'ha Tanya, but we raise a question. Beis Hillel Oimrim, Oiskin b'malachdon v'korin. And we've dashed on the line Oiskin. It says, Beis Hillel says they can be engaged in their work and recite the Kriya Shema. So you can't so easily tell us that that the source of the Umnin is provided betalin mimalachdon. Here we've noticed the two expressions we've dashed underline, betalin, which means avoidance or stoppage of work, and here oiskin means continuing in work. Therefore, we have to come up with a new resolution. Or a new explanation, we'll say, Lo Kashya, Ha Beperek Rishon, Ha Beperek Sheni. That which Rav Sheshes said, V'husha Betelin Mimalachton, that is true with regard to Perek Rishon. The Tosfos points out, and Birtz Hashem will see this later in our Tosfos Shir, the section dealing with the Tosfos. Nevertheless, he says that the term Perek Rishon is Lav Dafka. It's not specifically the first paragraph, but it means the first Pasuk, because this piece of Gemara is has a featured speaker, Rava, and that's Rava's Shita from Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that all you need to have Kavana for is the first Pasuk. So what Rav Sheshes said is not rejected, it's simply limited to the first Pasuk. Ha Beperek Sheni, which would mean anything beyond the first Pasuk, that's when the source that says that the Oiskin B'Malachton would apply. So as far as the sources are concerned, we saw the Umnim can say Kriya Shema while they are involved with work. Another source indicates that they must be Bahaskes, they must be in full concentration. And the final resolution, therefore, is with regard to the first Pasuk, that's when Vahaskes, it has to be with full concentration. Beyond the first Pasuk, then we have the other, that which indicates that they could be involved with their Melocha, and it's still fine. Tanu Rabbanan. We have another Tanaic source, as you can see, and later, after this source, there will be a source that appears to be very short, that's raised as a kasha on this one. So it says here, Apoilim shohu oisin melocha etzel balabayas. Workers that are working for some owner, korin kriyashma, they say their kriyashma, mevorchen lefonel lachreo, and they recite the brochas of the kriyashma that appear before and after the kriyashma, v'uchlen piton, and they eat their meal, and they make a brocha before and after their food, and they are entitled to daven the Shmona Esrei. However, they don't serve as the shliach tzibur, the one who conducts the prayer service, the ein noisin kapen, and if they happen to be kohanim, they are not entitled to offer the Birkas Kehanim, to recite the Birkas Kehanim, because we're dealing here with workers and time is of the essence. So there's a certain minimum amount or maximum amount that we will allow them to do on their work time, but beyond that, no. The Gemara asks, V'hotanya me'ein shmonesre, with regard to workers, it says that they are entitled to recite the abbreviated Shmona Esrei. Me'ein Shmona Esrei, Rashi makes reference to the Havinenu prayer, which is a concise version of the Shmona Esrei. So, well, that is a problem. The source just before said they were entitled to say the entire Shmona Esrei in the full, complete, unabridged sense. This source says they can recite only the abridged Shmona Esrei. Omar Rav Sheshes, Lo Ikashya. We've indicated the number one here because there will be another approach to these two sources. But Rav Sheshes says, Lo Ikashya, Ha Rabbi Gamliel, Ha Rabbi Yoshua. The source that says complete Shmona Esrei, that's authored by Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Yoshua is the author of the one that says the abbreviated Shmona Esrei. And Rashi quotes the Mishnah later in this Maseches, in the fourth parak, where Rabbi Gamliel says that every day a person says 18 brachas, a full Shmona Esrei, and Rabbi Yeshua says me'ein Shmona Esrei. So that would resolve these two sources. The Gemara asks, "E Rabbi Yeshua, my Iria Pohalim, if this me'ein Shmona Esrei source, the abbreviated Shmona Esrei source, is Rabbi Yeshua, then why is it taught in the context of workers? Afilu kol adam nami. His shita is." That one recites an abbreviated Shmona Esrei is a shita, an approach taken by Rabbi Yeshua regarding all people. So the Gemara comes up with a new resolution, number two, Elo Ivi V'Idi Ralam Leo. Both sources, full Shmona Esrei, abbreviated Shmona Esrei, are under the teaching of Rabbi Gamliel. V'lo Kashya, Kan Ba'oisin B'Schoron, Kan Ba'oisin B'Sudasan. Two sources dealing with workers and what length Shmona Esrei do they say. So there is no contradiction. If they are getting paid for their paid in money or in cash for their work, then they do the abbreviated Shmona Esrei. If they're getting paid by being entitled to eat meals, their payment is in exchange for food, for their seudos, for their meals, then they say the entire Shmona Esrei. V'hotanya, here the Gemara brings support to this distinction through the following Tanaic source. Even if you skim ahead before we read the source, you can see we've dashed underlined the expressions toward the end of this source, ba'oisin b'schoron, and then it says avol oisin b'su'udosan, hence the distinction that we're making right now. So let's see the source. Ha'poyelin shoyu oisin melocha etzel balabayis, workers that are working by an homeowner or a proprietor. Karen kriyashma, they recite the Kriyat Shema v'spalin and say the Shmona Esrei v'oichlin piton, and they eat their bread, their meal. V'ein mevorchin lefonel, avol mevorchin lachreho shtayim. There's a discussion amongst the different girsos, different meforshim, regarding the brocha rishona. We saw a source just before where the workers are mevorchin lefonel. They do recite a brocha before their meal, and the Bach points out that is the girsos. That's the girsa of the Rif and the Rosh. So in this source, we see another girsa, but that's not the focus of our attention right now. Avol mevorchen lachreil shtayim. However, the Birchas Hamozon is recited, but only two brochas, even though the basic Birchas Hamazon is made of three Doraisa brachas and a fourth Derabonan bracha. This source tells us that workers will say two brachas, Ketzad, and how is that to be understood? Bracha Rishoina Ketikuna. The Birchas Hazon is recited as it is, ending with the bracha Borcha To Hashem Hazon Es HaKoil. And Shnia Poseach B'Birchas Haaretz, the bracha that we are familiar with, Noide Locha Hashem Elokeinu, opens up, that's known as Birchas Haaretz, the Kulin Bnei Yerushalayim B'Birchas Haaretz, and the Brocha of Bnei Yerushalayim, which the paragraph known as Rachem Noah, ending off with the Bnei Brachamov Yerushalayim Amen, that is fused together with the second paragraph. So the third brocha and the second brocha fuse together. Bamed v'morim be'oisin b'schoran. This applies to workers that are getting paid. Avo oisin b'sudasan. If, however, they are getting meals in exchange for their work, oishohoya balabayas meisavimoyen, or they are in a situation where the owner is eating his meal together with the workers, mevorchen ketikuna. They are to recite the entire standard Birchas HaMazon. So this source shows that regarding Birchas HaMazon, we make a distinction between Oisin B'Schoran and Oisin B'Sudasan. Likewise, with regard to the Shmone Esrei length, that same distinction could be made. Choson Poter Mikriyashma. Here the Gemara deals, and in our topic heading on the outside margin, we've noted Choson B'Kriyashma, Oisei B'Mitzvah Poter Min HaMitzvah. Following the Tanaic source, we will then see some volcano shapes, a geometric form that in this case we've featured under our Mivneh heading, where we call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style of Gemara. So with the narrow part facing up, that will represent a shelos, questions, and flipped over, tshuvos, responses. So the Gemara opens up with a source, Tana Rabbanan b'shivtecha b'veisecha. These words are found in the Kriyashma. It says that you shall say the Kriyashma b'shivtecha b'veisecha when you're at home. Prat l'oisek b'mitzvah. From this we learn to the exclusion of someone who's involved with a mitzvah, and as a result of his being involved with a mitzvah, he can't say the Kriyashma. So he's entitled to an exemption from Kriyashma recitation if he's oisek b'mitzvah. The pasuk says also uvelechtecha vaderech prat luchasan. This expression comes to exclude someone who has just become married. Mikan omru. From here we learn, or it has been said, hakeines es apsula poter, one who has married a virgin, he is exempt from the Kriyashma recitation, and veshamono chayav, but one who marries a widow woman, he will not have that Kriyashma exemption. The Gemara will focus in on the details of this source. How do we learn, how do we derive the different things from these psukim, and why the distinction between koines es hapsula versus koines es almona. So we now embark on this give and take style Gemara, which continues to the upper part of Omid Beis. My mashma. How do you see in this posuk, we said ubalechtecha baderech comes to exclude, in this case, the choson. How do you see that in the words? Omar Rav Papa, ki derech. The recitation of Kriyashma is like the road. Ma derech, which is just like going on the road, is a matter of option. One chooses to go on the road. There's no obligation to be on the road, to be traveling. So just like traveling is something that is optional, af hocha nami rishus, so too the obligation of saying Kriyashma is like one's or the circumstances under which one is obligated to say Kriyashma is just like the situation of the road, meaning that when you're involved with optional activities, then you're obligated to say the Kriyashma, as opposed to someone who is involved with a non-optional activity, but rather a mitzvah activity, something that one is obligated to do. So under those circumstances, he will be exempt from the Kriyashma. The Gemara asks, Mi lo askinon deka'ozil lidvar mitzvah? When the pasuk says, Uvalechtecha vaderech, is it not entertaining the possibility that he's on his way to do a mitzvah? So he's on the road in an obligatory sense, meaning he's on the road to fulfill a mitzvah, a commandment. And even so, the Torah is expecting him to say the Kriyashma. So we see that the Kriyashma is recited even when one is osek b'mitzvah. The Gemara says no. In Cain, if the posuk was conveying the idea that he's, even when he's on the road for obligatory purposes, for mitzvah purposes, he has to say the Kriyashma, le makro beleches. The
pasuk should have phrased itself in the non-possessive form, beleches baderech, meaning during walking on the road. My belech techa. What is the purpose of having it in the possessive form? And it says, you're walking. The you're walking, shma mina, beleches didochu de mechaivis. That when you are walking for your own purposes, then you are obligated to say the Kriyat Shema. In other words, if you're involved with a personal activity as opposed to an obligation, so you have to stop your personal activity and say the Kriyat Shema. Ha de mitzvah p'tiras. However, if you're on the road or you're involved with a mitzvah, a commandment type activity, an activity that falls under the category of mitzvos, then you are exempt. And once again, just to repeat ourselves, that's learned from the chof in the word belechtecha that's taught in the possessive form. When you're involved with your own needs and activities, then you have to say Kriyat Shema. And we infer, or we deduce from that if you're involved with something that's not personal but rather mitzvah oriented, then you would be exempt. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, E Hachi. If the exemption is based on mitzvah considerations, my Iriya Hakoines es Habsula, why does the source teach about the exemption in the context of one marrying a virgin? Afilu Koines es Hamona Nami. Even if one is marrying a widow, it is still a mitzvah to enter the marital bond, regardless of the woman's background, whether she was never married or she has been married, and therefore the man marrying an almona, a widow, should also be exempt. After all, we're putting the emphasis on the fact that when you're involved with mitzvahs, so you are exempt from Kriyat Shema. The Gemara answers, Hacha torid, the hacha lo torid. In the case of marrying a basula, so the man's mind is preoccupied with his initial act of intimacy with her. In other words, she has never been in that position before, and he is concerned with how she is going to react. It could be a painful experience. So he can't possibly concentrate on the Kriyat Shema. Hence, there is an exemption for him, as opposed to an almona. She's been through this already, so he is not torah, he's not preoccupied with what her feelings or reaction is going to be. Therefore, he is obligated. Well, e mishom tirdo. Here, the Gemara asks a question that lasts a few lines. You can see we have a long question marking to indicate this. So, if it's a tirdo factor, in other words, his preoccupation with something else that interferes with his ability to concentrate, if that's the factor that exempts him, then afilu tovos finoso bayom nami. Even if, let's say, the person is an owner of a boat, he's a shipping magnate, or he is a fisherman, and he sees his boat sinking at sea, which would cause him to be toru, to be preoccupied and lacking concentration. He sees his investment going down. So are you going to tell me that he is exempt from Kriyat Shema because of this state of mind? Is it the state of mind that causes the exemption? Well, if that were the case, Aloma Om Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Omar Rav, why is it that Rabbi Abba, quoting Rav, says the following, Oveil, Chayav B'chol Mitzvah Somulus B'Torah. A mourner, person who is recently bereaved individual of one of his very close relatives, he is obligated to fulfill all mitzvahs of the Torah, including Kriyat Shema, even though he is torud. Now, that's the end of the basic question. We have brackets here that indicate that the continuation of this section till the end of our long question marking is really not a central point to the question. The question has been completed, namely that if tirda were the factor exempting the man whose kinyan is apsula, so then why is it that we find that the ovel is chayav in reciting the Kriyat Shema?
Now, parenthetically, we just mentioned that the Ovel is obligated in all mitzvahs of the Torah. In the brackets, there is an exemption from the mitzvah of tefillin on the first day of his mourning, in which it says, the Gemara says, chutz min tefillin, when we said the Ovel is chayav in all mitzvahs of the Torah, with the exception of tefillin, sherei nemar bo'en pe'er. Regarding tefillin, tefillin are described as pe'er, one's glory. Shnamar pe'er cho, chavush olecho. And it's explained in other Gemaras where this particular quote appears. And Ovel, on the first day, it was customary that he would have ash on his head, or dirt or ash on his head, and as a sign of mourning. And it's not proper to have the tefillin where there is ash. But for our purposes, the question is, if you're going to explain the Kines es Apsula exemption based on Tirda, that doesn't seem to hold up, because we find other people that are Torud and yet are, yes, obligated in Kriyashma, like we saw just now by the mourner. The Gemara answers, Amri, Hasam Tirda de Rishus. In the case of the Tovas Vinos of Ayam or the Ovel, the preoccupation is something that is self-imposed. He doesn't. There's no obligation for an Ovel to be Torah, or there's no obligation for someone to be Torah because his Sfina is going, his boat is sinking. Hacha. Here, however, in the case of the Kines es Almona, Kines es Hapsula, where he's marrying a virgin, Tirda de Mitzvah. He is preoccupied with how to fulfill the mitzvah. His inability to concentrate on the creation, because his mind is on the fulfillment of consummating his marriage with this woman who has never been through it before. And therefore there's this fundamental distinction between the two types of tirda. So when the tirda is a tirda that's mitzvah focused, mitzvah based, then and only then do we have this exemption. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we want to note that in the outside margin we have a Nosei and Mivneh heading, where we feature the topic and structure. In this case, the structure is focused on the fact that we added Roman numerals 1 and 2 to break down this Mishnah. So on the side of our Gemara we have written, Shnei Maisim the halachas im Rabban Gamliel, two incidents that have halachic significance involving Rabban Gamliel. One is rechitzas oinein beistenis. An oinein is someone who has just lost a close relative, and in general, the people who have lost relatives are forbidden to wash, to engage in rechitza. So we will see here. An onain, someone who is, as we say, just recently bereaved, is allowed to wash because he is an istinus, someone who is very sensitive type individual that without the washing they will experience great pain or suffering. The second point concerns Kabbalah's Tanchumen al Moisei Shel Tevi Avdo, where Rabbi Gamliel accepted a consolation, which is something generally practiced when a relative dies. Ramliel accepted consolation on the occasion of the death of his servant, whose name was Tevi. Turning now to the Mishnah. Rochatz Laila HaRishon Shemesa Ishto. Ramliel bathed the first night following the death of his wife. Amru Lo Talmidov, the students said to him, Nimadatan Rabbeinu, Sha'ovel Aser Lirchos, have you not taught us that a mourner is forbidden in rechitza, in bathing? Omar Lahem, Eini Kishar B'nei Odom, I am not like other people, I'm not a standard type person. Istinis Ani, I am a sensitive or fastidious individual. And hence the lack of washing, even for that brief amount of time, that one day, would cause me pain. Ukshemes Tevi Avdo. Here you see Roman numeral number 2, when his servant Tevi died. Kivil Olov Tanchuman. He accepted the consolation offered by others. Amulo Talmidov, the student, said to him, Limadatan Rabbeinu, She'ein Mekablin Tanchumen Al Huavodim, that it is, one is not to to receive or accept consolation, which is generally offered in the case of a person who became a mourner. One should not practice that with regard to the loss of a slave. Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Gamliel said, answered, Ein Tevi Avdi Kishar Kol Avodim. Tevi, my servant, his name was Tevi, is not a rank and file standard type slave. Kosher Hoy, he was a kosher individual, he was a proper individual, and hence his demise is an occasion worthy of accepting consolation over that loss. Chosan im rotza likroy skriyashma laila harishon kore. The chosan we discussed earlier is someone who is exempt from reciting the Krishna because he is torud because of his impending marriage consummation with the basula. So, but the Mishnah says if he wants to say the Kriya Shema that first night, he is allowed to. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer loy kol haroitza litol es Hashem litol. Literally, is not just anyone who wants to say the Kriya Shema has a right to say it. There is a Rashi that's found out of place. It's on page Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Rashi there says Lo Kol Haroitza Im Lo Huchsuk Chocham V'Chosid L'Rabim. If a person is not known to be an exceptionally wise and pious individual in the eyes of the public, Ein Ze Ela Gaiva, it would otherwise then be a mere act of haughtiness. For someone, a chosid, to recite the Kriya Shema Ba'atzma Shiyoch L'Chavim Livo, he's showing off, he's demonstrating that he, unlike anyone else in his position, he is able to have kavona. So that unless someone has a well-known pious sage, he should not, on the occasion of his marriage, indulge in the saying of Kriya Shema. The Gemara here focuses on the opening point of the Mishnah. Mai taimo the Rabbon Gamliel. What is the basis for Gamliel who washed the night following his wife's demise? And just to repeat the halacha, even though an ovel is also berachitza, yet Rabbi Gamliel went ahead and did that. So the Gemara explains. Kosovar, Rabbi Gamliel is of the opinion, Aninus Laila de Rabbonan. This time period, namely the night following the relative's death, the nighttime following the death, is obligated to be observed as a period of mourning on a rabbinic level. Dichtiv v'achrisa k'yoyim mar. The pasuk indicates that the bitterness of mourning is during the daytime, k'yon. So there's a daytime, one day, and the night that follows is no longer included in the Torah expectation as far as avelus or mourning is concerned. So that when you hit that nighttime following the death, the first night following the death, you're dealing with a time period that's purely rabbinic in nature. Uvemokim istanis lo gozru be rabbonon. And in the realm of a sensitive individual, the rabbonon never imposed their bathing prohibition. So just to review this point, as far as Rabbi Gamliel is concerned, even though there is a machlokes tanoim, Rabbi Gamliel himself being a tano, he takes the opinion that the night following the relative's death is only of a rabbinic nature, and being that that's the case, the Rabbonin, when they impose their rules of prohibition of rechitza, they never extended it to include the istinus, the sensitive individual.
continuing now with the issue of avelus, or mourning over the loss of servants. Ukshemes tevi avdoi v'chulei. The Mishnah taught us that when Tevi, Rabbi Gamliel's servant, died, he accepted consolation, which would have been characteristic of a of the death of a relative. Tanu Rabbanan, avodim u'shvachas ein omdin alehem b'shura. These are male and female servants. If they experience a loss, so the practice of shura is not to take place. Shura is literally standing in a row. When people, lo aleinu, heaven forbid, experience a loss, a bereavement, so the mourners line up and the community passes by them outside of the cemetery. Or the, as Rashi says, ein omdin alei b'shura kishechorzim beis hakvaros. When the in standard procedure, when people return from a cemetery, ve'oisin shura soviv ha'ovel, rows of people would assemble around the mourner umenachmen oso, and offer him consolation. Ve'ein shura p'chusa me'asora. This practice of shura of rows of people assembling around the ovel is applicable. Or is binding when you have 10 people, not less than 10 people. So with regard to Avodim and Shvachas, this practice of Oyvdim Aleim B'Shura is not to take place. V'ein Oymrim Aleim Birkas Avelim V'Tamchume Avelim. With regard to the loss of servants, so the special benedictions that are recited in the mourner's house and words of consolation that are expressed are not to take place. Maisa umesa shibchasa shel Rabbi Eliezer, the bondmaid of Rabbi Eliezer, died. Nichnasu tamidov lenachamo, and his students came to offer Rabbi Eliezer consolation. Kevon shiro oisom, when Rabbi Eliezer noticed the tamidim coming and he knew what they were up to, olo lalio, he went up to a second story. When he was trying to avoid them, the olu achro, but they persisted and followed him. Nichnas la'an pilon. He then entered a small chamber that's a sort of antechamber before a large hall. So that's called an ampilon. He entered the ampilon. Nichnas la'an, they followed him in. Nichnas la'traklin. He then entered the main room or main hall of where he was. Nichnas la'an, and they followed him there. Omar lohem, he, Rabbi Lezer, announced, Kimeduma ani sha'atem nichvim b'poishrim. First, the literal translation. I thought at first that you would get burnt by lukewarm water. Or in our more common vernacular, I thought you could take a hint. Achshav I atem nichvim afilu b'chamei chamin. And now I see that you're not burnt even by boiling, scalding hot water. Lo kach shonisi lochem. Did I not teach you avodah mishpachas ein omdim aleim b'shura? V'ein omrim aleim birchas aveilim v'lo tanchumei aveilim? Didn't I teach you already that we don't treat the loss of a servant the way we treat the loss of a relative? Hello, ma omrim aleim. So what should one say when someone loses a slave? So the following we say: kishem shoyimrim loy laodam al shuv al chamuro shemesu. Just like you offer a type of words of comfort, or more accurately, words of prayer for one who loses an ox or a donkey that died on him. What do you say? Hamokun yamali l'choch esron. So you pray that the Almighty should restore your loss. It's a financial loss, and you should the Almighty should restore your loss. Kachomim lo al avdo val shivchaso. Similarly, with the loss of one's male or female servants, say hamokun yamale l'choch esron. So the Almighty should restore your loss. But as far as words of consolation and comfort, that one does not do. Tanya Idoch, we have another Tanaic source. Avodim u'shvachas ein maspidin oison. With the loss of an eved or shivcha, there is no eulogizing. Rabbi Yossi Omer, im eved kosher hu, if the dead servant was a proper kosher individual, proper and what we call kosher type person. So omrim olav, then we would say hoy ishtoy v'nemon v'nanem yigioi.
woe concerning the loss of the good and trustworthy man who benefited from his efforts. Amru lo, they said to Rabbi Yossi, if that's what you say over the death of an Eved, im kein ma hinafta l'ksherim, so what have you left for regular, full-fledged Jews to be said? In other words, they were saying to Rabbi Yossi that this is a wonderful type of tanchumin to be said even for a regular, full-fledged Jew. Tanu Rabbanan. Here the Gemara gets off onto a new topic, and under our topic heading in the outside margin, we've noted the nosei, and it's Ein Koren Ovos Elul Shlosha, the term Ovos, literally the fathers. The term the fathers applies only to three, and that's a reference to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'lo Yimois Elul Arbo, and the term matriarchs, or mothers, applies only to four: Sarah, Rivka, Leah, and Rachel. These comments, by the way, are not including a son with regard to his own father. Of course, he can call him father, but as far as unrelated people using the term father, that would apply only to three: Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Our Gemara continues. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Koren Ovos Elo L'Shlosha. The Ein Koren Imos Elo L'Arba. Only three are referred to by the term Ovos, and only four are referred to by the term Imos. Now, the Gemara asks, why is it limited? Ovos Ma'itaimo. Why do you say it's limited to those three? I Leimo Mishum Delo Yadinon, I Miruven Ko'asinon, I Mishim Ko'asinon. When we say it's limited to the three, we're saying only the three patriarchs of the Jewish people are called Avos, and not the 12 tribes. You don't refer to them as Avos. Now, why not? If you will say it's because we don't know where we actually come from in a specific form, do I come from the tribe of Reuven, or do I come from the tribe of Shimon? And therefore, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to use the term father for someone who's not my father, because I don't come from him. Well, if that's the consideration, well, ihachi, if that's so, imohos nami lo yadinon I mi rochel koasinon I mi leo koasinon. With regard to the four matriarchs, included in those in that list are Leo and Rochel. Does anyone know for sure if he's a descendant of Leah as opposed to Rochel, or vice versa? No, he doesn't know that with any assuredness, and yet these two women, Rachel and Leah, are included in the list of the four matriarchs. So it's not a function, the exclusion of all others except for the three that we call Avos is not a function of our lack of certainty, because we see that we address those that we lack certainty and nevertheless call them Imohos. So we could have done the same with the tribes, for example, even though I don't know from whom I come. Ela, ad hocha chashivi, tfe lo chashivi. The reason for these particular three patriarchs and four matriarchs, and them and only them being called what they're called, Avos and Imos, is because up till them was significance and enough importance to refer to them with this very lofty title of Ovos and Imos. Tfei, but beyond them, they are not as important, not as significant. In other words, in all due respect, if you will, to the 12 tribes, their level of holiness, their level of significance was not quite the same as the official or formal Ovos. Tanya Idoch, another source. Avodim Ushvachos Ein Koren Oisam Abo Ploini V'Ima Plonis. With regard to servants, male and female, you don't use the term Abo Ploini. The word Abo is similar to what we today use as a title when addressing a person like Mr. or Mrs. So the term Abo was a title of distinction. You wouldn't refer to an Eved or a Shifcha using the term Abo or Imo, which are titles of distinction. And it doesn't mean in this particular context, the Gemara is not referring to matriarchs or patriarchs, but rather the term Avo used in as a title of distinction. V'shel Rabbi Gamliel, the servants in the home of Gamliel, hoyu koren oisam Avo ploni v'imo plonis, they had these titles. Well, this is kind of odd. You have a source that says Avodah Mishvachos are not to have these titles, and then you give us an incident telling us about servants that did carry these titles. Maisa Listor, is this an incident to contradict the teaching or the point of the source? That's an odd thing to do, to have a teaching and then have a Maisa to contradict it. So the Gemara answers no. It's not a contradiction. Mishum de Hashivi. The servants in the house of Ramlio were people of a very high caliber, and because they were of this high caliber and importance and significance, they were entitled. So that you have one general rule that unless a servant has exceptional standing, you should not refer the term to them the term Abba nor Ima. Omer Rebbe Lozer, my dichtiv. What is the intent of the pasuk that says Kain avarchecha b'chayoy b'shimcha esa kapoy? Kain avarchecha b'chayoy zu kriyashma. That's a reference to the kriyashma recitation. B'shimcha esa kapoy zu tfila. That's a reference to Shmona Esrei. V'im oisa kain, if one practices the recitation of kriyashma and the Shmona Esrei, alav hakosav oimer. Regarding him, the Pasuk says, this is simply a continuation of the Pasuk just before, and you can see there's an indication in our Gemaras that one is, the first Pasuk was Tilim Samach Gimel Pasuk Hey, this is now Pasuk Vav. And it says, Kamo Chelev Vodeshen Tisba Nafshi, that one who practices the recitation of Kriyashma and Shmona Esrei, he will merit having wealth, and as expressed by the terms chelev vadeshen, v'lo'od elo shenochel shnei olamim, olam hazeh v'olam haba. Not only will he experience wealth and satisfaction and contentment, but he will also inherit a portion in both worlds, this world, olam hazeh, and olam haba, shenemar. The Sifse Renonos Yehalel P. And the term Renonos is a word in the plural form, and hence this conclusion that there's a reference to two worlds that such a person will merit. At this point in the Gemara, we have a marking scheme which is quite extensive. You'll notice it continues onto Yud Zayin Amud Aleph as well. The double underline highlights the names of different Rabbonim, and the triangle highlights the expression Bosor de Messiah Tzlosei, or Bosor Tzlosei, following their respective Shmoneh Esreis. The note on the outside margin reads, after you see the featured triangle and double underline, Sidra Shel Tfilos, a series of prayers, Shne'emru Acharei Hatfila Aidei Rabbonim Shonim, that were recited after their Shmoneh Esreis by all of these different rabbinic figures. So we continue now. Rabbi Elazar Bosser de Masayim Tzlosei Omar Hochi, when he finished his Tzlosei, his Shmoneh Esrei, he would say as follows. Now before we go on, just to tie things into to our general practice, Shmoneh Esrei is formally over with the recitation of the bracha of Hamavorach es Amo Yisrael Bashalom. There's a paragraph that people are very familiar with from the Sidurim, Elokai Nitzol Shoni Meira. That is an example of a paragraph that would be a prayer after the Shemon Esrei. One shouldn't misconstrue the Elokai Nitzol Shoni to be part of the Shemon Esrei. It's simply a paragraph that's recited after the conclusion of the Shemoneh Esrei. Here, we'll see a number of different of other practices of these different Rabbonim in that context. So, Rabbi Lozer, when he finished his davening, Omar Hachi. He would say as follows: He wrote Son Milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu. It should be your desire, the desire of you, the Almighty, Shitashkein Befurenu, that you should cause to dwell in our lot. Ahavo, the Achvo, the Shalom, the Reus, love, brotherliness, peace, and friendship. The Tarbeg Vulenu, the Talmidim, and our borders should be full and expanded with students. The Tatsliach Sofenu Achris, the Tatsliach Sofenu Achris, the Tikva. Rashi explains. Achris v'tikva shetei achrisenu toiva, that our maturity, our end, should be of good. V'nire ma shekivin, we should merit seeing that which we hoped for. V'tosim, the Gemara continues, v'tosim chalkenu began Eden, and place our share in the world to come, literally the Garden of Eden. V'saknenu b'chover toiv, and establish us with positive friends, the Yetzer Tov, positive inclination, the Oilo Mocha, in your world, the Nashkim, the Nimso, Yichu, the Vavenu, and we should merit that when we get up in the morning, we should be full of desire to do good. Rashi adds, V'nashkim v'nimtzu yichol l'vavenu v'yiru ha'shmecha shelo yizgabra lina yetzor v'yiru ha'laylo, that the evil inclination should not get the better of us through negative thoughts at night. L'sur me'achrecha b'yom, those thoughts that would lead us to veer away from you by day. Elo k'shenashkim b'chol boikir nimtzu l'vavenu m'yachaloch, but rather the prayer here says that every morning, that when I get up, I should be overcome with a desire to serve you. That's what we just said in the Gemara. Benashkim v'nimso yuchol v'avenu yura eshemecha. We should be overcome with the desire to fear your name. V'tovo l'fanecha kures nafshenu l'tovo. And our behavior should be a source of comfort and pleasure to you. The Rashi adds to this: V'tovo l'fanecha kures nafshenu klomar. Sipuk tzorchenu v'koras ruchenu. The Gemara continues with another example of a prayer. Rabbi Yochanan Bosu Yosayim Slosi Omar. Rabbi Yochanan, upon the completion of his Shmonesu, he would say, Omar Hochi, he would say thusly, Yiratzon l'fanecha, Hashem Elokeinu, should be your will. Shetotzitz b'voshtenu v'tabi b'raseinu, that you should. Tatsis is to look at. Should look at our shame and see our suffering. Rosena, literally our evil, our bad, but it means our suffering. The Rashi says, "V'sabi Rosena teida v'titein libcha b'ra bo'alenu." Pay attention to the suffering that we experience. But the Gemara continues, "V'tislabesh brachamecho," and be cloaked with mercy. And be covered with strength, and cloak yourself with piety and kindness, and to be girded with favor and kindness. Rabbi Zeira, Bosu Messiah Slose Omar Hochi. Rabbi Zera, upon finishing his Shmonesre, he would say, Yirotzon Milfanecho, it should be your will, Hashem Elokeinu, Shelo Nechto, that we should not sin, Velo Nevosh, and we should not experience embarrassment, Velo Nikolein Meavosenu, and we shouldn't be more shamed any more than our forebearers. Rabbi Chia, Bosu Matzli Omar Hochi, Rabbi Chia would say thusly, Hirotzon milfanecho Hashem Elokeinu, Shetei Torosho u Monusenu, that your Torah should be our preoccupation, literally our livelihood. Ve'al yadve libenu, ve'al yeshechu einenu, and we should not experience sadness, and our eyes should not be darkened. Rav Bosetzlose Omar Hochi, Hirason Mil Fanecho Hashem Elokeinu Shetitein Lanu. It should be your will that you should grant us Chaim Arukim, long life, Chaim Shel Shalom, Chaim Shel Toiva, life of peace and of goodness, Chaim Shel Brocho, Chaim Shel Parnos, a life of blessing, a life of income, of maintenance, Chaim Shel Chilus Atzomos, a life of health, Chaim Shesh Mamiras Chait, life of fear of sin, Chaim She'en Bohem Busha Chlima, a life where there is no embarrassment, Chaim Shel Oisher V'Chovod, a life of wealth and honor, Chaim Shetebonu Avos Torah V'Yoshamayim, a life of Torah love and fear of heaven, Chaim Shetmalei Lanu Eskomishas Ben L'Toyva, a life in which you fulfill all of our heart's desires for the best. Rebbe Bosut Sosei Omar Hochi. Rebbe, upon finishing his Shemone Esrei, he would say, Yoretzol Mufonecha Hashem Elokeinu Elokeinu Vaseinu Shetatzileinu Mi'azei Ponim, save us from those who are rough, coarse individuals, that they should not become enraged at me. U'me'azus Ponim, I should never be suspect of being illegitimate, being a mamzer. May Odom Ra, save me from a bad individual, may Pegara, and some a bad event, bad affliction, Yetzer Ra, from the evil inclination, may Chover, save me from bad friends, may Shochin Ra, from bad neighbors, may Sotan Amashris, and from the Sotan, the destroyer, may Din Kasha, may Baal Din Kasha, and from Din Kasha, from difficult legal cases and from difficult legal opponents, Bain Shu Ben Bris, Bain Shaino Ben Bris, whether he be a fellow Jew or he be someone that is not. The Rashi says, Shaino Ben Bris, Shaino Mohu, literally someone who is uncircumcised. Now, Rebbe was saying all of this, he prayed this to be saved, to be spared and protected from all of these things. Even though Rebbe already had government protection through the order of the Roman Emperor Antoninus, who had assigned guards to protect Rebbe through physical means. So the Gemara is pointing out that even though Rebbe was already protected, so to speak, nevertheless, that is no reason not to pray to the Almighty for ultimate protection. Rav Safra, Bosut Slosi Amar Hochi, Yehi Ratzon Milfonecho Hashem Elokeinu Shetosim Shalom V'Falmaya. We continue at the top of Daf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph. He is praying that the Almighty should create peace V'Falmaya Shalmala. Pamaya Shamala is a reference to spiritual forces that are in heaven, and it's pointed out that when these spiritual forces war with one another, there develops battles and war amongst nations of the world. So there's a connection between these heavenly forces known as Pamaya Shamala, Uba Pamaya Shamato. Those are the terrestrial let's just hold back for that for a moment. Pamaya Shamala, we explained already, were the heavenly forces that have a direct influence on earthly nations and forces warring with one another. So the prayer here is that there should be shalom, there should be peace in that amongst the Pamaya Shamala. Uba Pamaya Shamata, Rashi explains, this is a reference to the Chabura Sachachomen, that the wise men, the sages, should be at peace with one another, which unfortunately isn't always the case. So there is room for a special prayer for that. Ubein hatalmidim ha'iskim b'sorasecha, and there should be peace, shalom, amongst the students of Torah, those who are studying your Torah. Bein oiskim lishma, bein oiskim shelo lishma, whether they are learning Torah for your sake, lishma, for the sake of fulfilling your wish for us to learn, or whether they are learning for other personal benefits, for the sake of honor, let us say,
those who are preoccupied with Torah learning for non-pure motivations, it should be your will that they should come to the study of Torah for your sake, for pure motivational purposes. As you can see through the markings, that this series continues quite a bit way down the page with a number of additional samples of tefillos that different Rabbanim recited after their Shmona Esreis. However, in the context of the Daf Yomi that our audio shum are being presented, so this concludes today's Gemara section. For those who are interested, there follows a shiur on today's Tosfos. Let us now turn back to Daf Tes Zayin. The Tosfos that we will start with is the second Tosfos on the page. We covered in our previous shiur the first Tosfos. So the Tosfos says, "Hakuri eshma v'einu yodeh lehechon to chozer l'rosh." This was in our Gemara. One was saying the Kriyat Shema and he doesn't know where he made a mistake. Well, if that be the case, he has to go back to the beginning. Pirush mitam sheinu yodeh mehechon to. The reason he goes back to the beginning is simply because he doesn't know where he made his mistake. Avolim hoyu yodeh mehechon to. If a person knows exactly where he made the mistake, shedileg teva, he may have skipped a word, a posuk, or an entire phrase. He doesn't have to go back. All he has to do is go back to that particular verse that he made the mistake in. And similarly with regard to a mistake in Halel or in the Megillah. The next Tosfos, Maisa Barav Gamliel, Shenosa Isha, V'Koro Kriyashma Balailo Rishona. The Mishnah, after teaching us that a chosan is exempt from Kriyashma, the Mishnah brought an incident involving Rav Gamliel that married and recited the Kriyashma. So Tosfos says, Lav Maisa Listerhu. This is not an example of a Maisa that contradicts. It's interesting to note that in the Gemara we learned today, we saw an example of that being raised as a question in a different context. That was in the context later on regarding the issue of calling servants by the term Abba. However, in this case, the story of Rav Gamliel saying the Kriyat Shema on the night he married a woman is not an example of this form of Maisa Listor, a Maisa brought to contradict the teaching that immediately preceded it. The Komash Malon, the purpose of bringing in this story with Rav Gamliel, is Im Godol Hu Uboteach Biatzmo Shiyuchal Leiskaveng. If a person is a great individual and he is confident that he could have the proper concentration and intent and kavona, the roi litol es hashem, and he feels he is fit to recite the Kriyat Shema, so harashus biyado, he is entitled to do so. So that the purpose of teaching the story of Gamliel was simply to offer an additional aspect to the din of Kriyat Shema with regard to a chosan. That's just to review, in general, a chosan is exempt. However, if a person is a great individual on a lofty spiritual plane, he is entitled to say it. The next tesis, Lefish Ein Daito Miusheva Salav. This was taught in the Gemara with regard to someone saying the Kriyat Shema specifically the Bala Bayis cannot say the Kriyat Shema, or he cannot daven, he can't say the Shmone Esrei in any kind of tree. The source had said toward the end of the narrow lines of the Gemara that workers are entitled to Mispalin Barosh HaZayis Rosh HaTe'ina, and
on the first wide line of the Gemara, it was mentioned that Bala Bayis, whether it be a Te'eno, a Zayas, or any other tree, they must descend. They cannot say it in the tree. So the Gemara asks here, and after the source had given the reason, because the recitation of Shmona Esrei in the tree will result in lack of concentration, and that's what the Dibur Maso says, Lefishein Daitu Mishavasalov, he doesn't have the ability to concentrate. V'im Toimar, you might ask, Tepuk Le Mishum Damrina Leil, why not learn out the prohibition of Bala Bayis in the tree, based on that which we've learned earlier in the Masechta, Lo Yamod Odom B'mokom Govoav Yispalel. There was a separate consideration that it's not proper for a person to daven when he is standing on a high location. And being in a tree is certainly an example of a high location. So the Gemara answers, V'yesh lomar, d'hosam mayri al gabi kisei oisafsal. The prohibition of davening on a high location that was mentioned earlier in the Masechta, that's a reference to someone standing on a chair or on a bench. Avol bi'ilon she'olo sham lasos v'lachto. But in the case of a tree where the person went up there for another reason, he went up there to do his work. So his remaining there, as far as high place is concerned, havi kamo aliyah, that's no different than going up to a second story of a building. And from this you see that the warning against being in a high place is referenced to someone standing on specifically a chair or a bench for the purpose of saying Shmon Esrei, and I was going up to a raised or high location for Shmon Esrei recitation. That's what's meant by Lo Yamod Odom B'mokom Govoav Yispalel. In our Gemara, we're not talking about someone who went up to the high place for the recitation of Kriyat Shema. He went for Shmon Esrei. He went up to the high place, namely the tree, for working, for another reason. And therefore, as far as the Isser of Mokum Kvoa, that doesn't apply here. But nevertheless, there still is a problem of Daito being Eino Miusheves Olav. He can't concentrate. The Gemara, as we turn to the next Toisus Hove Perek Rishon, we mentioned this during our Gemara Shir, where the Gemara was resolving, is there a need to have Kavona for Kriyat Shema or not? So the Gemara answered, it depends if it's Perek Rishon or Perek Sheni. So in case of Perek Rishon, there the Gemara says there you would have to explain Betelin Mimalachdan Vikurin. So on this point, it says Chob Perek Rishon Lav Dafka Nokat Perek Rishon. When the Gemara says the first paragraph, it doesn't mean specifically the need for concentration for the entire first paragraph. Why not? The Hainu Alibo de Rova. Our Gemara discussion here is brought to you by Rava. Rava is offering the responses. For Rava Amar Liel, Pasuk Rishon Levad. Rava earlier had said that only the first Pasuk requires intent and concentration. V'hachi Hilchasan, thusly, is the law as well. So that since in our Gemara it's really Rava that's speaking, when he said, Ha v'perek Rishon, doesn't mean the need for concentration for Perek Rishon, but rather Pasuk Rishon, just the first verse and not the entire first paragraph. The next Tosis, Afilu Kol Adam Nami, in trying to resolve the two sources that we saw in the Gemara, do workers say in a full Shmon Esrei, or do they say an abbreviated Shmon Esrei? So Rav Sheshes said, it's one is according to Amgliel, there who requires full Shmon Esrei, and the other is according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara asked, well, if the abbreviated Shmon Esrei is authored by, if that source which speaks about workers saying an abbreviated Shmon Esrei is authored by Rabbi Yeshua, why does Rabbi Yeshua have to speak about workers, even anybody? Because that's Rabbi Yeshua's shita with regard to Kriyat Shema recitation on a daily basis. With regard to Shmona Esrei recitation on a daily basis, is the abbreviated Shmona Esrei is all that needs to be said. And hence, there would be no need to emphasize workers. And so, Tosfos is quoting the Gemara, Filu Kol Adam Nami, even anyone. So, why would Rabbi Yeshua be interested in emphasizing workers? V'im Tomar, Ha Shar Kol Adam Rishus, Upoelim Chova. even according to Rabbi Yeshua, there still is benefit in emphasizing workers, because workers are different than rank and file. With regard to Kol Adam, they have the option of saying the abbreviated Shmoneh Esrei. When it comes to the workers, they are obligated to say the abbreviated Shmoneh Esrei. So that one could still use this distinction. The Gemara said, Ha Rav Gamliel, Ha Rav Yeshua. The source that says, Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei is all workers have to say, is according to Rav Yeshua. And still there is significance in identifying or isolating workers, because workers have an obligation to say the abbreviated Shmoneh Esrei, as opposed to a complete Shmoneh Esrei. The Yesh Loimar. So Tosfos answers that the reason that it wasn't sufficient to simply say Ha Rebbe Yeshua, the Pshita Lei, it's too obvious. Kevon Shiyocho Loimar Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei, since you have the option of saying Shmoneh Esrei, Ein Ze Shum Chidush Im HaPoyolim Oimrim Afilu L'Chadchila. It then becomes of no novel, no chidush means there's nothing novel in this, that by telling us that workers are expected to say the abbreviated Shmoneh Esrei, the Havinenu. And therefore the Gemara looks for another reason, another teretz to resolve these sources, instead of just setting it up like Rabbi Yeshua. It says, Tosfos says, setting it up like Rabbi Yeshua, and then telling us that it's limited, or that the Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei is something to do with workers, that's not true. It would apply to anyone just as well. The next Tosfos, it's printed here on Amud Aleph, but it's really relevant to the Gemara on Amud Beis. The Chosein Baruch HaSoratz, we saw that the workers say a type of abbreviated Shmoneh Esrei where the second and third brachas are fused into one, and he ends off saying the Birchas HaOretz, Al HaOretz, the Al HaMazon. Afagav Dimidorai Sohem, Tosfos is pointing out, even though each one of the first three brachas of Shmoneh, of the Birchas HaMazon, are Torah obligated, they're Deoraisa, Yesh, so how can you not say three first brachas? We're in effect saying only two brachas, where you would have ordinarily said three. So even though the three brachas are Deoraisa, Yesh koyach b'yad chachamim lakor dover min haTorah, the sages have the power to uproot something from the Torah, since these people, these are workers that are preoccupied with working for an owner. We continue with Amud Beis. Ihachi mai irya basula. In our Gemara, we're in the middle of a give and take section. And the Gemara asks, well, if it's a p'tur because of mitzvah, so why does the p'tur extend, or is it limited to someone who marries a besula and not one who marries an almona? When, after all, marrying an almona is also a mitzvah. So Tosfos says, "Iamris bishlamo de taimo mishum tirda." If you were to explain that the exemption of kriyashma for one who's marrying a besula is because of mental preoccupation, Tirda, then Shapir, that would have been smooth. And then we see the distinction clearly, that only by Basula is there Tirda, and by Almona there's no Tirda. But once the Gemara said that the exemption is because of mitzvah, because of the mitzvah of marrying, so then Almona Nami, why is it limited to the marriage of a Basula, when there's a mitzvah to marry an almona just as well? And therefore, that's what motivates the Gemara to ask the question that it does. Why does the source emphasize the sula if the whole p'tur is a p'tur of mitzvah?
istinis ani. This Tosfos is commenting on that which we saw in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Gamliel bathed on the night following the death of his wife, and he justified it by saying that he was an istinis. The ika tsar im lohoya roches, and there would be pain if he wouldn't have bathed. The eno osu lichos me evlo, the whole prohibition of washing when one is in a mourning period, elamishum tanug, it's because of enjoyment. Vegam lochuf roshoi I is le irbuvio bereshis shari. Likewise, with regard to the shampooing of one's head, lochuf roshos, washing out of one's hair, if a person has irbuvio bereshe, he has a problem, without translating it literally, but he has a problem with his hair or his scalp, shori, it's allowed to be done. It's allowed for one to lochuf reshe afilu toch shiva, even within the first week of the mourning period. V'chein hiter Rabbeinu Shmuel lioledes aveilo. Likewise, Rabbeinu Shmuel allowed a woman who just gave birth, but unfortunately she was also in a state of mourning. She was a yoledes, a just newly a woman who just gave birth, and she's also an aveilo, and he allowed lirchoitz toich shiva. He allowed her to bathe during the first 7 mourning days. The lirchoitz nami v'tishabov, and he allowed, Rabbeinu Shmuel allowed this woman to bathe on Tisha B'Av, which is well known as a day forbidden in bathing. All of this is under the context of such bathing is because of hygienic purposes. A woman who recently gave birth, is a lot of, there are a lot of fluids that she discharges, and she needs to maintain a decent standard of hygiene. V'chein mashmanam meseches yuma. Likewise, this would appear to be supported from what it says in Yuma. Mi sheyesh lo chatotin baroshoi, someone who has scabs in his head, on his scalp. Soch kedarko biyomei kiburim v'enu choshesh, he's allowed to apply oils, to smear on oils on, in a regular way, even though it's Yom Kippur, and he doesn't have to worry. Afagav desicha kishtiyah biyom kippur, even though we treat oil smearing as if one drinks, and it's obvious that drinking is forbidden on Yom Kippur. Nevertheless, if someone has chatotin barosha, scabs on his scalp, and the oil application will help him, he is allowed to do that. That oil application, even on Yom Kippur. V'chein mashma b'Yushalmi ovel aser b'ruchitza. And likewise, from Yushalmi, we support what we are teaching, where it says an ovel is forbidden to bathe. Hado detema b'ruchitza shaltanu. That which the ovel is prohibited from in bathing is when it comes to bathing for pleasure. Aval b'ruchitza shena shaltanu. If the bathing is not to achieve pleasure, muter, it is allowed. It is allowed for the ovel. The itmar mi sheyesh lo chatotin bereshe, and here there is a fragmented quote of that which is taught, that one who has scabs in his head would be allowed to bathe. And when we say allowed to bathe, obviously under circumstances that would be usher for someone who doesn't have chatotin bereshe, like on Yom Kippur or on Tisha B'Av or on during Avelus lo aleinu. Aninus Laila Durabonan. This was brought in to explain how Rabban Gamliel bathed that first night. The Gemara had explained that the first night after the death of a close relative has a rabbinic status known as Aninus. The Tosfos, he opens up with a question that lasts a number of lines, as our long question indicator would say. V'im tomar, v'hare oinein nami eino noheg elo b'meiser. The concept of an onein is someone who just experienced the loss of a relative that very same day, that concept with its restrictions
is found in the Torah only with regard to Meiser. The Pasuk says, with regard to Meiser Sheni, it says, Lo Ochalti B'Oini Mimenu. I didn't eat the Meiser Sheni tithe when I was in a state of Aninus. That's what every person has to declare within the context of the Vidui Meisers. Avol Le'inyin Rechitza De'Avelis De'Rabonan Hu. However, with regard to bathing while in a state of mourning, that is rabbinic, even with regard to an onan. The imkain, being that bathing is itself only a rabbinic prohibition, imkain the oilam emaloch daninus lailo the oiraisa havi gabi meiser. I could then say what the Gemara did not say, and that is that anilus lailo, that the obligation to observe mourning after on the night after the demise of the close relative, that is the oraisa with regard to meiser. Yet in our Gemara it simply said anilus lailo derabonan. Why do you say that anilus lailo with regard to meiser might very well be Doraisa, that the Torah expects one to restrain from eating Meiser Sheni even the night following the death of the close relative. So, just to repeat once again, why does the Gemara say that in explaining Rabbi Gamliel that Aninus Lailo is the Rabbonim, when it might very well be, in the context of Meiser, it might be Doraisa? The Yesh Lomar. So Tosis answers, the Isa, the Havi Doraisa Gabi Meiser, if it were so that the night period following the day of death was a Torah obligation with regard to Meiser, Gabi Sha'ar Dvorim Derabonan Nami Havilon Lemigzar, with regard to other things which are in fact rabbinic, the rabbis nevertheless would have imposed a prohibition. The Chol D'Tikun Rabbonan, whenever the rabbis formulate their rules, Ka'in Doraisa Tikun, they formulated patterning them after Doraisa things. So that if there was any chance of the nighttime having any aspect of Doraisa prohibition to it, even if it's limited to Meiser, the Rabbonan, in formulating their rules concerning Aninus Laila, would have imposed a restriction and forbidden Rechitza even for the Istinus. But since the entire institution of Aninus Laila, including Meiser, is strictly Durabonon, therefore there's no Torah element to the Aninus Laila, therefore when it comes to someone who's an Istinus, the Rabbonon relaxed the law. Ein oindim aleihem b'shura. It was mentioned that in the context of a slave or bondmaid that became a mourner, so the public should not stand in comforting them in the row fashion, which is characteristic of general post-funeral comforting exercises. So why should one not stand in the in front of avodim and shvachas in a shura? Because if we were to do that, people would think that those mourners, the Eved and Shifhar, are kosher Jews. Kosher Jews, when we speak about that in terms of heredity, they are, family lineage. And Dilma Osi Lasuki Liuchsin. Later, when I see those people, I will think that they are Miyuchas, they have a proper family lineage, and they can be married by other Jews, which is certainly not the case, being that in fact they are avodim. So not to create a confusion regarding a family lineage, one should not practice shura in the case of avodim and shvachas. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.